Scripture lesson for the first Sunday after Christmas comes to us from the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter, beginning at verse 22. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for a glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many may be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've all heard the phrase, Christmas in July. That's usually to make us think of snow and cool and cold. It also recognizes the fact that since most people enjoy Christmas, why not have two at opposite ends of the year? Spread the joy around. And those may not be bad ideas. But the sermon titled Simeon, Christmas in July, means to say to us that part of the Christmas story, right after the angels and the shepherds, is the presentation in the temple, and that involves Simeon's song or his prophecy. But they're not the regular or the traditional Christmas words. They say something that's not as familiar as the Christmas story, so much so that we often don't use them for our regular Christmas. I mean, a Christmas tree trimmed with peaches wouldn't be a Christmas tree for most of us. And so it's hard not to use the expected words at the expected time, and as you can expect, we normally use the regular words. But there is a time for peaches. And there is a time to consider something besides our regular Christmas words. And for our Christmas in July, then, we find Simeon delivering presents. But as you might expect, not the expected kind. As the time was different, so the presents are different. They're thought-provoking gifts, thoughtful gifts that invite us to think, and so to deepen and strengthen our understanding of Christmas and our own faith. And so they are gifts, just as much today as they were to the people in the Bible account and that time. The first one is the definition of peace, of being complete, being settled, being secure. Simeon says he has that, so much so, he says, that his life is complete. There can't possibly be any more to it for him, and he is ready to go. That is, he said, if I were to die, I would not feel cheated. He said that because he was at peace. Lord, he said, let your servant depart in peace, for having seen the Messiah and knowing God was at work, working out salvation, that was enough for him. He's at peace. He's settled. He's secure. What Simeon said was that peace is trusting God to be God, to be doing God's business. Now, Simeon certainly didn't have all the answers worked out. He did not know or even care about the ins and outs of Christian theology. He would not have understood the meaning of crucifixion or resurrection or ascension the way we do. We, after all, have the New Testament along with the Old Testament, and we have years of Christian thinking and years of reflection. But Simeon knew that what God had promised him, God had delivered. And he said that was enough. What's enough for us? What do most of us want before life is over? It can be very narrow, very personal, reputation, honor, financial security for ourselves and for our heirs. Or it could be something more, something broader, more than just self and family, or even more than nation. We know that Simeon was happy, at peace, with just a glimpse. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. What happened here was a Jewish prophet saw that this baby was to be the beginning of a blessing for all mankind, and that it was Israel's glory to be giving that light to all, not just keeping it for herself. A remarkable insight. Simeon recognized it and said again, that was enough for him. Well, you and I have had a lot more than just a prophetic glimpse. We have the proof of history. We have the presence of the church in our lives today. And yet the gift of peace is the very same for us. Our peace, our security, our being settled is found in trusting God. Any church or Christian organization is false to the good news if it is concerned only with itself and not with others and not with the future. It's not faith to put self first and security second. The good news, the gospel, is the good news for all and for all time. And that's where we find our true security and our strength and our mission as well. That's the first gift. The second one is a gift we can't refuse. It's in the first part of verse 34. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. What that really says is there is no thanks, not right now. This gift is set. It's delivered. It's in place. There it is. Sometimes we trip over the idea of Jesus offering us free salvation just because of grace. We'd like it a lot better if we could just do something to earn at least a little bit of it. That way we'd feel better about ourselves. We don't like to think that we need help. And while we may agree with all the fine principles of Christian ethics, who likes to admit we need forgiveness, and after that we need guidance and we need direction? And yet when pride gets in the way, we cannot walk with Christ. We'll trip. And we can't remain neutral either. Well, I don't know about all that church stuff. It's okay, and some people really need it, but, you know, I just like to make up my own mind. Common reaction. But this gift says that Jesus is a clear sign. Now, a clear sign, like bridge out, can be read or can be misread. Did that say bridge out tomorrow or was it today? The sign cannot be ignored without parable. And so it is with Christ. At Christmas, God began a work so important for all mankind that it is foolish to ignore it. And we have so much more to call it to our attention today. The shepherds had the angels, but we have the scriptures. We have personal witness and experience. We have the community of faith that we call the church. We have the history of the church. We have all the thinking that has been done about this. And we have the work of the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds to help us understand. To refuse it is to reject it. And yet, that rejection is understandable. And it is because of the third gift we find, a gift that we don't want, and yet a gift we need. It's in verse 35. And a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. Somehow, Simeon knew that Mary would see Jesus' suffering. In fact, many Christians throughout the world to this day refer to Mary as Our Lady of Sorrows. But it is that suffering, which nobody enjoys, that is still a gift. The suffering of Christ, we see a fuller meaning to life. One Bible scholar said it like this: there is no religion without tears if it is to be both New Testament and true to life. Now, that's not only tears for the suffering of Christ, but for what all of us will face if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior for us. If, I guess it's better to say as, he is Lord and Savior. It says the thoughts of our hearts will be revealed. And some of those thoughts are going to cause us pain. They will cause us tears. Remember, the leaders in Jesus' day had no qualms about having him unjustly tried and unfairly executed because he forced the issues. He made them look at who, God, or what, their own selfish interest they were serving. And they didn't like that. And you and I will have the very same experience. The sweet baby Jesus of Christmas grows up into an everlasting and an absolute authority who forces issues. There are going to be difficult decisions. Since we are Christians, we are asked to decide issues differently than our world decides them. Just think about some of the major issues of our day, be it abortion or law and order or hunger. Our Christianity insists that we think and that we decide. It doesn't say we'll all decide the same. By no means. We won't. But we need to think. And we need to choose. And then we need to review and renew and reshape values. Let me give you an example. What about pre- or extramarital sex? Does available birth control make any difference? There are some who say, yeah, no baby, no problem. Our culture says that loud and clear. But we Christians say, yeah, there's a problem. That's not what God intends for marriage. And so as we review the values of our age, we have to try to reshape and restore them to be in line with God's directives as we understand them. And there'll be some tears with that, some sorrow. Because we have to deal with very human tendencies, pride and greed and unconcern. And in all of that, learn that freedom in Christ is choosing to be his servant. That's not slavery under the law. It's free servanthood. There's a difference. And there are times we're not going to like what that reveals about ourselves. But in the process, we will learn what God would have us become. In the Church of England's Book of Common Prayer, the second collect or prayer from Christmas, it means the Sunday after Christmas, reads like this. Grant that as we joyfully receive him for our Redeemer, so we may with sure confidence behold him when he shall come to be our judge. That's what Simeon and Christmas in July are offering us as a gift, that sure confidence. It can be ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Mighty God, the shepherds of old were full of your praises, saying that all that they had heard and seen was mirrored by what they had been told. Move among us now with your Spirit, that we too might hear and experience the wonder and the joy of the living word as we seek to welcome that written word into our lives. We ask this for Jesus' sake and ours. Amen.